when you are weary and the night is cold out here. Though our lives are very humble, what we have to share. There is wine here to revive you. There is bread to make you strong. There's a bed to rest till morning. Rest from pain and rest from wrong.
Bless the food we eat today. Bless our dear sister and our honored guest.
We have your silver. We caught this man red-handed.
He had the nerve to say you gave him this.
That is right. But my friend, you left so early. Surely something slipped your mind.
You forgot.
I gave these all, sir. Would you leave the best behind?
Monsieur, listen. This man has spoken true.
I commend you for your duty. Now God's blessing go with you. But remember this, my brother. See in this some higher plan. You must use this precious silver to become an honest man. By the witness of the martyrs, by the passion and the blood, God has raised you out of darkness. I have saved your soul for
something about starting from with a clip from Les Mis. In fact, let's just call it a day and we'll go home and finish watching. I love that musical. And this is a turning point in the musical. This is the example of love. And we're going to talk about it more later, so I want you to remember that clip. Before we get started today, let's go to Him in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for everything you've given us. We just ask that you be with this message time, that you take it, you open our hearts to the words you'd like us to hear and the things we need to hear, and we just lift you up in prayer. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. What is love? Well, before we answer that question too seriously, I like looking at what a few kids say love is. Kids always crack me up. They're fun. They always have the most honest answers, if you will. This answer to what is love comes from Rebecca. She's 8 years old, and she says, "When my grandmother got arthritis, she couldn't bend over and paint her toenails anymore. So my grandfather does it for her all the time, even when his hands got arthritis too. That's love." Billy, age 4, says, "When someone loves you, the way they say your name is different. You just know that your name is safe in their mouth." Chrissy, age 6, "Love is when you go out to eat and give somebody most of your French fries without making them give you any of theirs." Terry, age 4, says, love is what makes you smile when you're tired. Danny, who's 7 years old, says, love is when my mommy makes coffee for my daddy and she takes a sip before giving it to him to make sure that it tastes okay. Anika, age 6, says, if you want to learn to love better, you should start with a friend who you hate. Yeah, I think I'm going to bring Nika up here and let her breathe sick. Noelle, age 7, says, love is when you tell a guy you like his shirt, then he wears it every day. Tommy, age 6, says, love is like a little old woman and a little old man who are still friends even after they know each other so well. My mommy loves me more than anybody. You don't see anyone else kissing me to sleep at night. That's from Claire. She was 6 years old. Elaine, who was 5, says, love is when mommy gives daddy the best piece of chicken. And Jessica, age 8, says, you shouldn't say I love you unless you mean it. But if you mean it, you should say it a lot, because people forget. The funny thing is, these kids have a better understanding of what love is than some adults did. We don't struggle with the understanding what emotional and passionate love looks like. When we are young, or in our late teens, or maybe even early 20s, we feel our heart flutter, or we get a tingle when we are with that someone special. And woo! We are in love. Now when we get serious, and eventually even get married to that special someone, we begin to understand that love means putting up with the things we don't like about our spouses, because there's at least one thing about them we really like. Our world has so many definitions of love, and you can see some of them up there. Strong affection for another, maternal love for a child, affection and tenderness felt by others, affection based on admiration, benevolence or common interest, warm attachment, enthusiasm or devotion, the object of an attachment, devotion or admiration, a beloved person, a person's adoration of God, an amorous episode, or a score of 0 as in tennis. So the world has all kinds of definitions of love. However, today I want to talk about a type of love that is, well, it's more than emotion. It's the greatest type of love. John 15:13 says, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. This love is the highest form of love. I'm talking about what is honestly true love. I am talking about agape love. Now here's a definition which I've come to kind of like best when it comes to agape love. It says, agape love is unconditional love that is always giving and impossible to take or be a taker. It devotes total commitment to seek your highest, best, no matter how anyone may respond. This form of love is totally selfless and does not change whether the love given is returned or not. This is the original and only true form of love. It's time to take a further look at what Scripture says about what agape love is. And we're going to start, of course, in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 7. Now, as you're looking up to Scripture, some of you are looking down at your little fill-out form for the sermon, and you're saying, Pastor Jeff, we're 5 minutes in here, and you haven't told us the title. The title. Well, we're going to do that right now. The title to this one is Love One and All. Love One and All. And I've been reading a lot in the Scriptures and different books over the last year or so on love. And I've come to 2 conclusions. One, we have to love God first and then love everyone. Simply put, love the one and love all. The second thing I've come to the conclusion is, I personally have a lot of work to do when it comes to this subject. So we're going to go to His Word now. If you haven't found it in the Bibles, that's all right. We have it in the big TV screens in the sky there, the big Bibles in the sky. And here we go. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I had to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. We've got to stop right there. Look at all these things you can do for God. And all these gifts, the gift of prophecy and all the knowledge you could have. And you could give everything to the poor and even sacrifice your personal body. But if you don't have love, you gain nothing. It has to be done in love. He goes on from there. Love is patient and kind. Love is patient and kind. Now, this is not the type of patience that you have to have with your child when they just won't eat their green beans, or the type of patience you have to have with your husband who just won't seem to listen to you. But it's long-suffering. It's dealing with everything. It's continual. No matter what's going on, no matter what type of suffering we're having, we have to have love. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. That's a tough one for me, especially when I'm in my car behind a slow person. Rude, right? It's hard to do that one. It does not demand its own way. Well, that doesn't seem right. Culture tells us we ought to have our own way, right? We're a selfish society. It should be about us. It should be about what we want. I'm telling you what now. I learned this lesson in the first year of marriage. Can't have it my own way. My wife, who is an incredible woman, I married up, didn't I? Amen. Okay, Pastor David's the only one I got. Guys, I laid a golden egg up there for you right now. I'm going to give you another chance to say amen. This is your chance to let your wife know that you agree and that you married up as well. I married up when I married Polly, didn't I?
Amen.
It's too late now. But I thought I knew what love was. I thought I knew what marriage was all about. I thought I knew I could, come home, eat dinner with her, keep the yard clean, and then bring some flowers or something every now and then. That's love. That takes care of her. That's what a woman wants. Young men, don't write that down, because that's not what a woman wants. You learn what love is. You grow in love and what love is. And it's not getting your own way. It's working together through it. It's working together in all relationships through it. It's not about your own way. It's not irritable. I don't like that one either. It keeps no record of being wronged. That's a tough one too. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. That is a whole heap to unpack in those few verses, isn't it? It's a whole series in itself. But we're not going to go through it line by line today, because that's not what this sermon's about. I just wanted to read this so we had a baseline of what agape love looks like, of what it should look like. The thing is, agape love is so much more than just this list. And there are four things that God wants us to know about agape love. The thing to remember before we get into those four things is, agape love is not friendship love, it's not brotherly love, it's not sexual love, or love of food, or love of a sports team, or any type of worldly love. Agape love never complains, never asks what's in it for me, or says things like, that person over there doesn't deserve it. Agape love is not simply a word or a description. It is a sacrificial love. It is a love that takes action. Agape is not a human creation. It is God. It is the type of love Jesus showed for us. It is God's love for us and for all. And it's a love I still struggle to completely understand. According to God's Word, agape love is all those things in 1 Corinthians 13. But it's more. And first and foremost, God is agape love. Not God knows how to show agape love. God is agape love. 1 John 4, verses 7 through 10 say, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God. For God is love. God showed us how much He loved us by sending His one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through Him. This is real love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. God doesn't simply show us love. He is love. He is agape love. Without God, there is no agape love. You see, God's love is radically different. It's different than the world's. It's not anything like what the world says love is. God's love, agape love, flows from God. It has no bounds, no limits. It is a love that needs no reciprocation, needs no acknowledgement, needs no compensation. God showed us this perfect, unselfish, sacrificial agape love when He sent His Son to die on a cross as payment for our sins. Romans 5:8 tells us, "But God showed us His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners." And of course, John 3:16, I got this one memorized. "For God so loved the world that He sent His one and only Son, that whosoever should believeth in Him will not perish but have" what?
Eternal life.
Thank you, Tim Tebow, for making that verse famous. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." So, an amount so big. There's just no way, good way to describe it. So the author just uses "so." "For God so." Jesus just says "so loved." An amazing amount. The world. He loved the world, which includes angry people, hurt people, evil people. That He gave. He loved this world so much with all these good and bad things in it. And He gave His one and only Son that whoever, that's anybody, anybody who chooses to believe in them, Him, shall not perish but have eternal life. That's love. That is agape love. That is God. Secondly, the Bible tells us we are to give agape love to God, to the one. We are to give agape love to God. Mark 12:29 and 30 tells us, Jesus replied, "The most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength." So if things at work didn't go your way, it was a rough night with the kids at home, you stubbed your toe as you walked in the door, your car broke down on the way home, your tire blew on the way to Alabama with a bunch of high school kids, you came to church and you didn't get the worship song you wanted, you get to lunch and the waiter doesn't get your order right. All these things happen. But you still have to love God and everything with everything that's going on in your life. And you have to do it with everything that is in you. You can't let the stuff of this world get in the way of loving God, of showing agape love back to God. This is the most important commandment we must show. God, the same love He has shown us. But why? Because God needs our love? No. Because God is love. He is love, but because it will help us, we need to do it because it will help us obey Him, to follow His commandments. John 15:9 and 10 says, "I have loved you even as the Father has loved me." Now that's Jesus, by the way, if you didn't catch that. He says, "I have loved you even as the Father has loved me." He doesn't say, "I have loved you about half as much as the Father has loved me." Because really, that's still quite a bit. He says, "I have loved you fully as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in His love." We show God love, and it helps us to follow Him, to obey Him, to stay in a relationship with Him. When we love God, we will want to, we will strive to follow all of His commands. Which leads us to the third thing about agape love. We are to give agape love to all, to everyone, to whoever, to every single person. If you go back to that verse, Mark 12, 29 through 30, and you add the 31st verse, you see it. Jesus replied, the most important commandment is this: Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is your one and only Lord, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. So we have to love God, but we have to love our neighbor. If you go to Matthew 5, 44 through 48, it says, But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. And that way you will be acting as true children of the Father in heaven. For he gives the sunlight to both evil and the good. He sends rain on the just and unjust alike. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Or how are you different from the world? Even pagans do that. But you are to be perfect, even as the Father in heaven is perfect. Which means we don't choose who to love. We may have to, we do, and you're going to come across it in your life. You're going to have to love your enemies. John 13, 34 and 35 says, So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. And then finally, 1 John 3, 16 and 17. We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need, but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Folks, that covers the gambit. It's the brothers and sisters who sit here in the room. It's your family. It's your friends. Co-workers. Our enemies. This is where the sermon gets tough, especially for me, and it becomes real. I want to tell you a story, a real quick one, about a little girl who was invited to dinner at the home of her first grade friend. The vegetable was buttered broccoli. And the mother asked this girl, she said, Do you like it? Do you like buttered broccoli? And the child politely said, Oh, yes, I love it. But when the bowl of broccoli was passed, she declined to take any. The hostess said, I thought you said you loved broccoli. The girl replied sweetly, Oh, yes, ma'am, I do. Oh, yes, ma'am, I do, but not enough to eat it. Do you love your family? Hopefully. Of course I do. We do. We could all probably say that answer. It's the only right answer. But what do you mean by love? So often we love our family, friends, church family, neighbors, or like that little girl loved broccoli. We kind of love in the abstract. But when it comes right down to it, we don't want to get too close. We don't want to get too far involved here. In the words of Apostle John in 1 John 3:18, it says, Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. This is what the bishop did for Valjean in the Les Mis clip. Valjean stole the silver, was out the door, didn't ask for it, and took off. He's captured, he's brought back. Valjean's expecting, man, I'm going to have to go back. I'm going to have to go back to the work camps, to the prison. And the bishop says, I gave them to him. And he forgot the candlesticks, which are the most important part. And the look on Valjean's face, like, what? And the look, did you see the look on the officer's face? Like, okay, something's not right here. What kind of love? What is this? That's agape love. The bishop reached out to him, tried to show him love, bring him in. And Valjean still robbed him blind. And then the bishop still showed him love when he was brought back with all the silver that was stolen and gave him more. Gave him more. And the next scene, I didn't show it because I get sucked in. Valjean basically says, what is this? What kind of man is this? Who would do this for another person? Someone who is in a relationship with God, who loves God, would do that. That's what we are called to do. Whether it's a friend, family member, trust us, not all family members are easy to get along with, right? Our enemies, our neighbors, co-workers, our teammates, our classmates. I know some of you high schoolers have struggled with this because we've talked about it. It's tough. This is tough to do. In your mind, you're thinking, so God wants me to do what? Show agape love for all? That love has got to be patient, kind, not rude, doesn't expect anything in return, is just always giving, putting up with everything. God wants me to show that by the way I live, by my actions, that I love all? Yep. That's what He wants from every one of us. Now, some of you will say, and some other people will say, if they were talking directly to God, imagine talking directly to God and say, but wait, God, what about that guy at work who stole my idea and got the promotion? God answers, yes, love him. Well, wait, what about that girl at school who was making lies up about me and telling them to all my friends? Oh, yes, her too. All right, but God, okay, this is a new age. So what about that person who put something I didn't like on Facebook or Twitter? I mean, they offended me. Does showing the love, your love, agape love, mean I have to forgive and not reply to their post? Yes, most definitely. But Lord, they've also called you out on some other Facebook posts. Shouldn't I stick up for you by replying? The easy answer, my son, is what would I do? Son, I've called you to love. I've called you to let my son shine through you in love. Let me ask you a question. How does putting a harsh comment or reply on Facebook show them my love? All right, God, but listen. What about the person who has hurt one of my family members? How am I supposed to show them love? And this is the one that really gets me. And I've heard God say this to me recently. He says, Jeff, by counting on me, by trusting me, and by letting the Holy Spirit take control. I never said this would be easy, but I need you to do this. I want you to do this. And remember, you're not doing it alone. Agape love gets tough, doesn't it? It gets tough. We all have scenarios like I just mentioned. Some have to do with forgiveness. Some have to do with not holding on to things. Others have to do with anger, pain, and hurt. Just to throw a little plug in here. That's what freedom groups are all about. All of us have that stuff. We have something that's holding us back, that's hurting us, that's keeping us from showing agape love. And we got to get through it. We've got to get through it because God has commanded us to love all. We must give agape love to all. The fourth thing about agape love we need to remember is that God gives us agape love. He is that love. He wants us to love Him that way. He wants us to love all that way. But He gives it to us. We get it. He gives it to us to give to others. Romans 5:5 says, and this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity. Oh, forget it. But of power, love, and self-discipline. God has given us the Holy Spirit to dwell on us, to help us with agape love. We can't grow this kind of love by ourselves. But God, who dwells in us and gives us the Holy Spirit, can guide us and fill us with that love. Loving all is not a simple task. Loving others is just not simple. And we need to trust it's there, that love is in us, that His love is in us. We need to trust the Holy Spirit to show us how to show God's love to our community, to the world. There they are. The four things that God wants us to understand about agape love. As soon as they come up. There they are. God is agape love. Give agape love to God. Give agape love to all. Give the Lord Almighty God gives us agape love. I can't stress enough how important these commands are and knowing this about agape love is. Love is great. And some of you may be asking or wondering, what about sharing the gospel and reaching people for Christ? How do we accomplish this if we focus so much on love? We got nowhere, no farther to go than God's answer. His answer's in the scriptures. And the one I like is John 13:35. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, that you follow me, that you love me, if you love one another. If we love each other, the world will know we are God's because His love is so different from the world's idea of love. And additionally, as we love one another, people will want to know why we do it, why we love sacrificially. And guess what? We now have an open door. It's right there. It's a big neon sign. Talk to him about the gospel. Talk to him about Jesus. Why? Because you loved. Because you showed love. By loving all, we have the opportunity to spread the good news of Jesus. We must live by faith and live with hope. But love must be the center of all we do. If you go to the last verse in 1 Corinthians 13:13, lucky verse, I guess. Three things will last forever. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Love is not the only commandment, but it is the greatest. We must live every day being love to our world. This agape love is something that as a church, we need to grasp and let it be known that that's what we are known for in this community and our world. And brothers and sisters, we at MCC, we are known as a friendly and hospitable church. We are known as the peanut butter church. We are the church who puts on a quality VBS. We are the church who puts on the living flag. We are the church that has the two crazy pastors who do that informed thing. But above all that, in fact, I would trade all of that to be known as the church who is love. I believe that if we pray for this, get into the Word even more, and strive to each become individuals who love one and love all, together we will become the church who is known as the church who loves. We will set the standard for Muhammad. We will set the standard for Illinois. We will set the standard for this world we live in. That's what God's calling us to do, to be totally different from the world, to radically love everyone. Who can stop MCC from spreading the gospel and reaching the lost if we let love be our guide? Brothers and sisters, I need an answer to this, and I need it loud and proud. Who is love? That's right, God. Who can stop us if He's on our side? Nobody. If we are showing agape love, we are showing the world that God is love. We are showing the world who God is. And who wouldn't be drawn to that kind of love? Who wouldn't want to come be a part? Look at all these empty seats. I'm telling you, we let love shine through each of us, and together as a community, we're going to have to put chairs in here every Sunday morning. Because who's not going to want to come be a part of that love? That love is what drew me in. That love is what draws us all in. To be loved by that, that's what we're all searching for. In his book, Everybody Always, Bob Goff said, people don't grow where they're informed. They grow where they are loved and accepted. How true is that? My son Noah has become a better student because of the teachers who have nurtured his quirks, who have loved him for his sense of humor. In fact, this year I had a teacher who had the same sense of humor, so that was quite funny. And have loved him for his energy. They have helped him grow into a kid who is learning and growing by loving him for who he is. And isn't that what great teachers do? Our church must be that kind of community for Muhammad and all the other communities we touch. Can you imagine the effect that kind of love will have on our homes, our workplaces, our neighborhoods, and our communities? If you're with me, if you want to join in on this, let me hear you. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
That's it, folks. What God has been leading me to share with you all today. So the question is, what are you going to do with this message? There are some of you here today who get it and let God's love flow through your life. And let me first say thank you and ask you to keep going. Keep being an example and to help those of us who are struggling with it. Struggling with God's calling of love one, love all. Secondly, since none of us are perfect, let me challenge everyone to keep growing closer to God and growing in His love even more. Now, maybe you're here today as a Christian, but you're struggling with this love. Something is holding you back or something is getting in your way. Get into the Word today. Don't wait. Remember to have an invitation. Come forward. We'll pray for you. You don't have to admit anything publicly. Just come up, whisper something, Dave and I do. We'll get an elder. We'll pray with you if you want to. We have people that love praying in this church. Amen? We're going to pray for you. We're going to work through it together. We have to do it together. With God's help. With the Holy Spirit's guide. With ourselves as a community of believers. Now, maybe you're here today. And you're here and you've come to hear more about God. You just don't know about this God. But after you hear this, you're like, I want that kind of love in my life. I need that kind of love in my life. I want to learn how to share that love with others. Then come forward today as we sing. We'd love to pray with you and talk to you about that. There is no better time than today to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So as I say on the Price is Right, come on now as we sing our invitation song. As we close, Dave and I hear this question a lot. And I've even said it a few times to myself over the years. What is God's plan for my life? I am waiting. I want God to reveal His plan to me. Come on, God. What's your plan? If you heard any part of that sermon, He just revealed it to you. My plan is, you love me, you love all. That's my plan. But I want to know, love one. Love all. The rest will take care of itself. The rest will take care of itself. Remember, God wants us to do more than just give love to someone and receive it from others. He has called us to be love as He is love. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for this time today and I thank You for this opportunity to share Your message. I just ask that You help us take it to the world today, that we take it inside, that we grow in our own love for You, that we be love to our community, that we be love to our neighbors, to our family, to our enemies. We know we can't do it alone. We need You. We need the Holy Spirit as a guide. So together, we will show love to this world. In the Son's name we pray. Amen. Please stand and sing our invitation song with us.